Turn to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis 3. God has created man and woman. He has given them the command in chapter 2 not to eat of the fruit of the tree. But someone is there, and someone speaks a lie. In fact, we'll see this is the first lie found in the Scriptures. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He, that's the serpent, that's the snake, said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Question mark. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Notice verse 4, the first lie. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Verse 5, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, and knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. We'll stop our reading there. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us today to see truth from your word. And when we be instructed by it, helped by it, and may someone today leave the clutches of sin, leave the clutches of the evil one, and come into light. Leave darkness and come into light. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. "You shall not surely die." Exactly the opposite of what God said in chapter 2. That he says, if you eat, you will die. In the day you eat, you will die. And how does the serpent, how does Satan approach her? With a question. With a question to sow doubt in her mind. Did God really say that? Well, in our society today, there are multitudes of people that are saying, "God didn't really say that. God didn't say, you know, this, that, or the other. You misinterpreted it." People have found out in the original languages now that those things were not spoken of as we know the things today. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm going to mention that the world is being deceived. Look at what it says. Just look at the projection. John chapter 8. These are the words of Jesus to the religious leaders. He said, y'all are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father, the devil's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Do you believe what Jesus said about the devil? The name devil, Satan, the dragon, the serpent, all of them speak about him being a deceiver. What is a deceiver? What is to be deceived? Well, there are six different ways in the Bible that deceive, deceit, deceiver, all these are used. Let me just quickly throw them up there for you to see. The first way it is used, and it's small, I hope you can see that. If you don't need to try to write it down, I'll send you these things if you want them. But the word is used to deceive. It is a verb which means to cause someone to believe an untruth, to believe a lie, to believe a falsehood. The second thing is the word deception. That word appears as an act. It's a noun causing someone to believe an untruth. That's what happened here in the garden. The serpent deceived Eve. The third way it is used is the word deceived to mislead. It's a verb form to cause someone to wander from a proper belief or cause of action. The fourth way it's used, deceitful. It means to be duplicitous. It means to be two-faced. It's an adjective marked by deliberate deceptiveness. The fifth way it's used in the Bible is to deceive thoroughly. In the verb form, it means to deceive in an exhaustive or in a persuasive manner. And that's what the world, the devil in the world today, he is the deceiver of the world in an exhaustive and persuasive manner all throughout our world. And then the last way it's used in the Bible, deceiver. It's a noun meaning someone who leads you to believe something that is not true. In our world today, as you'll see in this next image, there is one in the background. He is a deceiver. He is subtle. He is wily. He is strategic in all the things that he does. And his main tool, this is the title of my message, Lies We Have Been Told. His tool is lies. Lies that we have been told. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about a lie. And that lie was, all sin is the same. That's a lie. Now, in the sense that it only takes one sin for us to be guilty, and the soul that sins, just one sin, is guilty and deserves death. Well, we've not just sinned one time, but we have sinned all of our lives, and we're guilty. And today, the common mantra that is spewed out, all sin is the same, especially when it comes to homosexuality and a lot of different things, different realms of sin. It's the same as eating too much. It's the same as, you know, saying a bad word. Trying to negate the heaviness of certain sins. If certain sins could be weighed, some sins weigh more than others. If I hate someone in my heart, that's a sin. But if I act out my hate that's in my heart for a person and kill them, well, that's a lot heavier sin. It's taken of a life, and it is punishable. It's supposed to be punishable by death, as it says in Genesis chapter 9, that he that sheddeth blood shall have his blood shed. But all sin is not the same. That's the lie of the devil. And you're going to hear that over and over and over. People will seek to justify the wicked, wicked sin they're involved in, and they will do that. They will say this, and they will say other things, trying to deflect. It's a lie. And the second thing that I want to say to you today, the second lie, is all love is love. All love is the same. If you love someone that is off limits, do y'all remember years ago? There's several artists, musical artists, that recorded this song. But the one that struck me the most was years ago, Barbara Mandrell, a professing Christian, made famous at that time a song, "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." If loving you is wrong. And he goes on to talk about in that song how justifying, you know, I've got two kids at home and a wife that need my love, but I love this other married person. And if loving you is wrong, then I don't want to be right. That's sick. In fact, when I hear that song and I read the lyrics of that song, it makes me feel sick. Because I've lived through many situations in the churches, the two churches I've pastored for the past 47 years. I have lived through some of these situations with congregants. It's a lie. All love is not the same. Now, if I was going to get a tattoo, I wouldn't get this tattoo. A picture of the devil on the neck. But maybe that is appropriate. Maybe that is appropriate for some people. that the devil is always whispering in the ear to do this, that, or the other, which is classified in the Word of God as sin. But the devil whispers and says, all sin's the same. This is not a big sin. It's all the same, on the same plane. And love, whatever you love, is, even if it's off limits, even if it is reserved for somebody else, it's okay because I love him or her. Here's the lie. It doesn't matter who or what you love. Doesn't matter. Notice I said who or what. This is a truth in the Word of God, the statement I'm about to give, that it will appear there. There is in the Word of God legitimate love and illegitimate love. Do you know the difference between the two? They're not all the same. Legitimate love means it is sanctioned. It is lawful. It is blessed of God. It's legitimate. No matter what our lawmakers decide, no matter what the laws of the land say, this is the law that we go by, the Word of the living God. It's truth. But do you understand the opposite, illegitimate? Something that is illegitimate means it is not lawful. It is not sanctioned. It is not approved. It is not all right. And as I've gone through the Holy Scriptures in this past week, I have seen that there's probably about 15 more than I'm going to give you a few, but there's about 15 more. You can search it for yourself, get a concordance, look up love, and you'll see every verse in the Bible where love appears. And you'll see a lot of good verses about love, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But then you will see many taboos, unlawful things that the Word of God says that you are not to love. So love is not just one thing. There is pure love and there is impure love. There are pure or lovely things that God says you are to love, but then there are impure things. They're actually ugly, but the devil makes them look very enticing. And we fall in love with those things, or can fall in love with those things. So I want you to turn into the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And Jesus, this is a famous portion of Scripture, John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and the dialogue that they have, and then Jesus points out that God sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But I want you to notice, starting at verse number 17. We know what verse 16 says, but we don't read verse 17 and following that much. But let's read there in your Bible, John 3, 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, We were already condemned. But in order that the world might be saved through him, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now get verse number 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So what did Jesus say in verse number 19? People love darkness rather than light. So the first illegitimate love that I want to point out to you is this: the illegitimate love of darkness. People love that which is dark, that which is I think about, and I cringe when I come across it, and Ozzy Osbourne, he claims the title of Prince of Darkness. Many of people in Hollywood and in the music industry, in certain types of music especially, talks about everything you can think of that is dark. They even dress dark. Not just color, but they look dark, meaning that they are, it looks sinful, it looks, you know, of the devil. But you can be a fine, upstanding person that even comes to church, and you love darkness rather than light. Because as it's stated here, is that you love darkness rather than light because your deeds, you know yourself, you know your deeds, your thoughts, all the things of your inner being, you love darkness rather than the light. You shun the light. You were like an insect who does not like the light being on them, and they run, they scurry, they hide, they find a crevice, they have a crack, that they want to go into the dark. There's other verses that allude to this darkness, but suffice it to say, Jesus said, people love darkness rather than light. That's illegitimate, to love darkness. God is light. God is light. His works are light. His word is light. It's a light under our path, a lamp under our feet. The word of God illuminates. It's light. So a love of darkness is illegitimate. Turn over to the book of Timothy. Turn over to Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And you all know this scripture, but we need to be reminded of it again. Read it again. The second illegitimate love is a love of self. Self. Verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, but understand this. Now, have you understood what he's already said? Maybe you've understood it by reading it and understanding it. But maybe today you're going to understand something for the first time. He says, I want you to understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. That's perilous times. That's dangerous times, difficult times. And what's the number one thing he mentions here in 2 Timothy 3:2? For people will be lovers of self. Let's keep reading. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lover of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And get verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness. You can be a church member. You can be a professing Christian. You can have all the niceties around you and on you that you look supposedly godly, but you have the appearance of godliness, but you deny its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households, capture weak women, burdened with sins, and led astray by various passions, always learning but never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Now, go back to this list. This list that has, depending on the translation, about 18 or 19 things. If you love yourself, if you're a lover of yourself, which is an illegitimate love, you will have all of these things as sprouts in your life. Now, what did Jesus say to his people? Deny yourself. Don't love yourself. Don't pamper yourself. Don't do what you want. He says, deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me and be my disciple. But yet we live in a pampered world. We have people in church who are pampered people, who've got money, who've got nice homes, who drive nice cars, two cars, three cars or more, wear the nicest of clothes, and every little thing that they can do, they seek to pamper themselves. We're not to be lovers of ourselves. That's an illegitimate love. Love of self. Pride is about self. The first sin in our universe was Satan, who turned his attention off of God the Father and turned the attention to himself, loving self. He said, I'm going to set my throne above the Father's throne. And he went around politicking to all the other angels in heaven. The scriptures tell us that 1/3 of all the angels in heaven he convinced to come over to his side, his self's side, and rebel with him. And God cast him down, cast him out of heaven. It says that the pride of your heart was lifted up. You sought to put yourself in the place of the Almighty. And let's think about that. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Putting yourself in the place of the Almighty. You worship yourself more than you worship God. You do everything that you can do to please yourself instead of to please God. You've got an illegitimate love. You love yourself. And here's the third illegitimate love. It's found right there in verse number 4. I could mention lovers of money in verse 2, but look at verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. An illegitimate love of pleasure. Let me clearly state this. Pleasure is not wrong in itself. The book of Psalms says that in the presence of the Lord, when we get to heaven, when we're in His presence, there will be pleasures forevermore. Those are going to be good pleasures. But we know that there can be in our lives, we can be seekers of pleasures, pleasures of our flesh, pleasures of our lust, pleasures of always seeking fun, always seeking a good feeling, always seeking pleasures. For time's sake, let's move on to the fourth illegitimate love. Turn to 1 John chapter number 1. First John chapter 2. And here is a fourth kind of illegitimate love. That's the love of the world. The love of the world. Now you remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the cosmos. That is people. That is humanity. But here, world is used in a different way. Verse 15. Do not love the world. So that's a thing. Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And just so you don't forget, the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So here John is saying that there is an illegitimate love for the world, for the things of the world. You are a worldly person. Your life is focused on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the things that you see, that you lust after and want, desire, covet, and the pride of life, or as it says here, pride of possessions. All those things are going away. This afternoon, when you go back to your house, just suppose your house is not there anymore. It's been destroyed. Everything precious in your house, your photographs, your prized possessions, everything is gone. Your vehicles, your property is just like the aftermath of destruction. That's going to happen one day. You say, but Brother Rodney, it's not going to happen today. Well, we don't know. We might be taken away today. And like the rich young farmer who had accumulated and accumulated and accumulated, Jesus said, you're a fool, because tonight your soul is going to be required of you. And whose will all these things be after you're gone? The things of the world that we love, we treasure. And I'm not saying that we're not to be appreciative for our homes and for everything that we have. But do they have you or do you have them? Love of the world. There's much more we could say about that. But turn to the book of Romans, and this is going to be our last point that we're going to look at for time's sake. Remember, there's a bunch of more that I have written down, recorded. But here in Romans chapter number 1, this is the fifth thing that is illegitimate. The illegitimate love of the same sex. It's not lawful. It's illegitimate. It's not sanctioned of God. You know in Genesis where it says that God made male and female. And male and female, though both are human, both are different. They're different in temperaments. They are different in appearance. They are different in parts. They are different in so many ways. And God made them fit. Lawfully fit. Lawfully able to recreate. Able to produce fruit. Children. But the degradation in society, and it's not a new thing, it's proliferated more in these last days than it ever has in the past. But there has been homosexuality, that is, sexuality with the same. Homosexuality. Homosexual. And Paul the Apostle speaks of it here in verse. There's a lot we could look at here in Romans chapter 1, but let's stay on topic here. Paul says in verse 24, therefore, God gave them up. He gave them over. What they want, he says, okay, you can have it. You say, that's a good thing. No, that's a bad thing. When God gives us over to our desires, our wants, verse 24, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. What is the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves? It is doing with their bodies that which is not sanctioned, that which is illegitimate, that which is opposite of nature. And then verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. That's what we're talking about, a lie. We're talking about the lie of the devil. So they exchanged the truth, the legitimate truth, to an illegitimate truth. And it says that they then worshiped. What are they worshiping? They worship and they serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who do heterosexual illicit people and homosexual illicit people, who do they worship? They worship the human body. Pornography is, it would blow your mind to know how many billions of dollars and how many people and how many hits and how much involvement there is looking at people's bodies, worshiping people's bodies. A woman can't pass by some man without him checking her out. He's got a problem. He's loving and worshiping sex, bodies. So, what does it say in verse number 26? For this reason, God gave them up. He gave them over to dishonorable passions. Dishonorable. You know what that means? Illegitimate. Dishonorable. It's not honorable things that they do. It is dishonorable. For their women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature. Now, there's a whole lot of exchanging that's been mentioned. Remember up in verse 23, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images. Verse 25, because they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Verse number 26, they exchange natural relations. And then the same thing is said in verse 27, and the men likewise gave up or exchanged natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, to do what ought not to be done. And there's more said here. Did you see that in your Bible? This is the Word of God. But you'll hear people say, oh, you can't pay no attention. These are professing Christians who are homosexual. You can't pay no attention to what Paul said. I mean, Paul, just listen to what Jesus said. And I just read a sermon yesterday from a woman preacher. And in this sermon, she said, don't pay attention to what Paul said. Pay attention to what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Do good. And so on and so forth. See, they're corrupting the truth of the Scriptures. They're believing a lie. Now, if I start out with a little one-inch lie, as I'm building my life and I lay out the string and lay out the measurements for my life, and I start with an inch off, and every inch I go, I'm getting further and further away. I mean, I'm building a life, building a house that is going to be abnormal, that is going to be before long. You see, This can't work as a building. We must believe the truth. We must hold to the truth. We must preach the truth. We cannot compromise the truth. Because this is the Word of God. It is not flexible. It doesn't bend with the time. It is not on a sliding scale. You know, God's not going to grade us on the curve. We're not trying to find people that we're a little bit better than, that we're not as bad as. No, this is the Word of God. And Only that which is legitimate love, illegitimate love, is not of God. Condemned by God, it will be judged by God. Just give it time. And as it says there that in verse 27, that these men committing shameless acts with men, they will receive in themselves, that's talking about in this life, the due penalty for their error. There are consequences with homosexual and heterosexual illicit love. And may I remind all of us that it is illegitimate for a man to touch another man's wife. It is illegitimate and judged by God for a wife to be in the embrace sexually with another than your own. Proverbs says that a man that toucheth his neighbor's wife, it says that he will be judged, that he will not have the mark of shame and reproach removed from him. He can be forgiven, but the shame, the reproach, God says that wound will not be removed. And over 3,500 years ago, David did something that we're still talking about in the church, because it's in the Word of God. And that reproach has never been wiped away. David got forgiveness. David enjoyed the joy of his salvation again. But that reproach, forever. Sin leaves a mark. Sin will leave not only a mark, but a deformity. Sin will leave shame, consequences. And oh, the heartbreak of little boys and girls that then grow up in a broken home. Their consequences. Turn from your sin. We must turn from our sin. So it's a lie to say, well, love is love. I love her, says the female. I love him, says the male. It is not the same. It is illegitimate. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the amazing grace that you give to cleanse the most wicked of us. The most, just like you said about the woman, that she loved you so much, and people wonder, why does she love Jesus so much? Why does she show that love more than Jesus said, for she has been forgiven much. She was more wicked in her deeds and actions than y'all. Y'all religious Pharisees and Sadducees. And she is just enjoying the grace and the forgiveness that is available for those that call out to God. Don't believe the lies, friend. And we are being put in a vice. We are being hemmed up more and more in this society to where we're being forced to have to come out and take a stand and have to say what is uncomfortable at times. Today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's my invitation to you. Today, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out to Him to save you, to forgive you of all of your sin. Do that today. Let's quietly stand for our last song this morning. In this song, there are 20 questions asked. 20 questions. And there's three or four statements, declarative statements that we should do. So pay attention to the questions. You know the song, let's sing it together.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Answer these questions.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Blood of the Lamb, yes I am. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Yes, I am. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. 20 questions. Did you answer those questions? Affirmative or no? Well, today we're going to have a baptism. I ask that Dylan go ahead and go on back. Brother Eric, you go on back with him. And we're going to read just a short passage of Scripture. I want everybody to turn there to the book of Romans. You can be seated. Turn to the book of Romans. And I'm going to ask that Brother Ken come back up. And if you would read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 down to verse number 32, while I go prepare for the baptism.
Romans chapter 1, without doing a lot of commenting, this is really a turning point in the short time Paul's been in this epistle. He started talking about the gospel and not being ashamed. Verse 17, you see here, this statement, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith or from faith to faith. Some translations say by faith from first to last or start to finish, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, quoting Habakkuk 2:4. And then when we come to the next verse, you see the first word for, and now he is going to begin for the rest of this chapter, chapter 2 and part of chapter 3, to show that the entire world is under the condemnation of God, and the entire world needs salvation in Christ. So let's read this together. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchange natural relations for those who are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Just very briefly commenting, I don't know if you may have seen on social media, just yesterday, our White House proudly displayed the quote-unquote pride flag in between two United States flags. Now look again at the last verse before I go back to my seat. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. You know, we've talked about in the past, many of us, that if we don't repent, God's going to judge the world and our nation. God's already judging our nation. He's given us over. Let's pray. Father, as we now witness this ordinance of your church, we pray that you would be honored and glorified. Thank you and praise you that you are still saving and redeeming sinners. And we see this glorious truth before our eyes. We see the gospel today in this ordinance of baptism. We pray for Brother Rodney and Dylan, and pray that through it all, your name would be praised. In Christ's name, amen.
The scriptures teach us that baptism is an ordinance, a command of Christ, that we, as he was baptized, symbol of his death, he went into the water, he was put under the water, symbolizing death and then resurrection. This brother was saved in January, as you heard his testimony mentioned, and has not followed the Lord in baptism. He loves our church. He's been here a few weeks and has just reveled in what he has experienced with God's people, with the songs, with the music, with the reading of the scripture, and so forth. And as we voted a few minutes ago, once the act of baptism takes place, he will be a part of our church. Now, in just a moment when we close, I'm going to ask Hans if he would come and stand at the front so you can come and welcome Hans into the fellowship of the church. Tonight, Dylan will stand and you can welcome him into the fellowship of the church, give him the right hand of fellowship. So, it's my privilege and honor to baptize Dylan Jones. Dylan, upon your profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to the divine command, I baptize you, my Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Buried in baptism. Buried in baptism and now to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Somebody got my robe again. I was missing a robe a few months back. I bought a brand new robe, put it back here, and now it's gone. So if anybody knows anything about it, it's a white robe, please let me know. God bless you this morning. It's been a good day in the house of the Lord. Would you please stand? Hans, if you'll go ahead and make your way to the front here. And everybody in the church, all the membership, you come and welcome him. Meet him if you've not met him before and rejoice in his being here. Let's bow our heads now for prayer. Brother Harold Griffin, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the worship service today. We thank you for this baptism and the service that we just witnessed. Dylan coming and submitted himself for baptism. We pray that you just bless him in the days ahead. Bless us as a church and help us to all be supportive of him and he of us. And we thank you for Hans coming and being part of our church. We just pray you bless him also and meet every need that he has. Now we ask that you go with us to our homes and bring us back tonight. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.